Hey, it's me, Jamie Waxman. And normally, the Hot Socks podcast goes right into an interview because I like talking to people. I like talking and getting to know people's stories. And then sometimes, I'm working on this one, but sometimes like butting in because I get overexcited and want to share something else. And I'm sitting alone in my friend's apartment in New York City. And I just decided that I'm going to do the Hot Socks podcast and I'm going to interview me. So if you can't stand this voice for a little while, then this is not the podcast for you. But really, how could you not stand this voice for a little while? I'm Jamie Waxman, and I'm a sex educator, author, producer, director, Jewish girl from Long Island, and other things. And I wanted to talk about a project I'm working on. So I'm going to interview myself, right? So Jamie, tell me about the project. Okay, Jamie, I could change my voice as the interviewer, I suppose, but it is just me talking to myself. Do you think that some people would think that makes me crazy? The fact that I'm even just doing this right now, pontificating into a computer that's getting warm on my lap, which makes me think I'm going to have that syndrome, you know, that syndrome that they claim burns people's legs. I do think as I, right now, okay, I am writing a book and I'm working on a project and that's what I want to talk to you about. And this all goes into the same thing because I think that sometimes I keep my computer on my lap and it's too close to my ovaries and I don't have that long or that much time to try and have a child. And if you're dating me or dated me and stumble upon this podcast and are listening with bated breath now that I'm talking about having a baby, or were thinking of dating me and now don't want to because there's baby talk in the first 2 minutes of this podcast, let me just say this. I'm 37 and single and writing a book called The Wake Up Call, A Biological Clock Guide to Dating, or something like that. The title can always change, but I'm doing a book with that slant, and I know that the next few months are going to be consumed with this topic. I want to have a child. I don't want to do it alone. And I think it's great that women do it alone. And I think women who choose to do it alone are really strong, wonderful women for doing it that way. But that's not me. And I don't want that to be me. I know there's no guarantee of a family if you're realistic about it. I mean, you meet somebody, you have a child, and it doesn't mean it's going to last, whether because you don't get along and you figure out a way to break up amicably would be best, in my opinion. I think most people's opinion. But I think we should focus more on learning how to break up amicably when we break up. If you love somebody and you care about them and you even created a family with them, then don't you think that you could learn a way to deal with them? It's business. Relationships are business. So I'm writing this book. I'll have to try and rein myself in. I'm not even going to interview myself anymore, really. What's the point? I'm just going to talk. I am good at this thing called talking. So I'm writing this book on the biological clock guide to dating. And it's interesting being 37. Well, when I lived in LA, I wasn't supposed to say I was 37. You're not supposed to say how old you are when you're in Los Angeles. But what is the alternative to not saying your age? It's not being here to say your age. Or just lying about your age, sure. That's another alternative, I get it, but that's not mine. It's not being here, and that means you're dead. So I'm pretty happy to be growing older right now, and 37's a perfect age. It's just that I don't know how many other women are listening to this that feel this way, but I'd love to meet you if you're 37 and just feel like it's your now. If you want to have a family and you don't want to go at it alone, but you want to meet somebody to do it with, yeah, I'm talking more single women or women who need to get out of a relationship and get into the right relationship for now, the relationship that will get them the family that they want. It's not that easy to do. So I'm totally putting myself out there. This is going to be fucking tough for me, but this is what I want. And I want to figure out my patterns, why I date the types of men I date, why I give my love to the types of men I give my love to who can't always return the favor. And timing is so much of this. So like we have to stop blaming ourselves for what we want. Like, yes, of course. I have friends who would tell me that I should blame myself because I have patterns, but I have no regrets over who I love. I just have regrets over how I love myself. Does that make sense to you? And if it does, or if you know someone that should hear these words, I'm recruiting women to create something I'm calling either a WAG or a GAG, depending on if it's a women's accountability group or a girl accountability group. I want both words to be able to be used interchangeably because I prefer girl. I like being a girl and I like boys. And I want to find a boy to have a family with. But if you're listening, what I was saying earlier, before I totally went on a tangent, which is why it's so hard for me to just talk to myself for a while, because I can go on lots of tangents. But if you're listening to this and can relate or know someone who can relate, love to have you be part of this process with me. Basically, I'm writing this book that's going to require really me putting myself out there, doing some sort of prescriptive meditation or journaling or activity to help me further along to the goals I desire, to the man who wants that family with me, or to try. And trust me, I'm also okay, or learning to be okay, if it doesn't happen. I believe it will. So I'd rather think positive, but I'm okay, like, there are other options. But I don't want to do it alone, so the first step is meeting somebody who wants to do it with me. So that's really exciting. And also, speaking of dating, while I do this, I'm working on another project that is for guys, it's for you guys, about how to date us girls, not necessarily the ones who want to ask you what you think about kids. And when do you ask that, by the way? Is that like a first date question, second date question, a like third date question? I have this thing about more than three dates. If you aren't honest about what you're looking for after three dates, then and you don't think you can get that from your partner, I don't think it's a good idea to stick around. If you're working on getting it and you believe you can, give yourself some time limits to how long you stick around, but you can stick around as long as you both know your goals and are okay with them and willing to, like, just, even if it's like, keep it chill, see where it goes. But the second book is more about guys, what you like need to learn, really, like, simple, stupid things that maybe feminism made hard to decipher. Not that there's any evil in feminism, but feminism made hard to decipher, like chivalry. When do you open a door? When do you pay for dinner? Always on the first date. I think if you don't pay on the first date, you're not having a second date with me. That's what I think. So that book, I'd love to interview people about too, just your experiences or rules. What are your like diehard rules for dating? So who am I? I'm Jamie Waxman, and this is the Hot Sox Podcast. And today I'm going to be talking about having babies, being single, things that guys who are looking to not hear about should not listen to. Girls too. But my biological clock has been ticking for a few years now, and I believe I'd be a great mother, and I want the experience of having that parasite in me to see what happens. So if you want to know how my experience is going, please stay in touch and follow me on Facebook. It's JAMYEWAXMAN with a capital Y and a capital X. On Twitter, it's JAMYE. And here now, it's me. And my dear, sometimes brutally honest friend, Ian Dancese, of the Behind the White Picket Fence podcast here on iTunes. And we're talking about being single, or more accurately, what it means for me to be single, as well as love, marriage, and the state of relationships. It's a short one, but it's a good one. And I'm really happy to have Ian on the program. Thanks for being here, Ian. Now let's get started. So Ian's the guy I go to when I need a dose of reality around my dating situation or the state of relationships or what marriage really is. Ian is the first person who reminded me about this radical idea that we marry for love, but that's crazy. Love is this highly volatile emotion. It's probably the last thing we should do anything for. So one day Ian has this vision that he can talk to people in this large stadium setting and tell them things about love and relationships and marriage. Things like this. You envision yourself in a stadium?
Yeah, I envision myself kind of like that. What was a Promise Keepers crap that used to go on? back in the day with a dad's thing.
I don't know that.
I envisioned myself in like the stadiums across the country full of 50,000 couples going, let me tell you about marriage before you do this.
And what would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them, stop with the love thing. Just cut it out. It's not just love. There's so much more. It's great that love catapulted you into a relationship in the first place, but it is not what's going to get you through to the end or sustain over the long period. It's nice to have, most certainly, but there's a million other things that are going to happen between now and death. And if you want to get to death with that person, you better start looking at those things now and taking a really hard look at that person sitting next to you.
So, like, what are those things?
Well, first of all, compatibility. You know, you have to really, what do you think about children? What do you think about living arrangements? Where does sex fall into this? What are your financial goals and aspirations? There are all of these practical matters that you should think about and talk about so that at least going in, you have some idea and also that you can craft a dream together before you just wind up there going, wait, my dream is this. Oh, but my dream is this. How come we never talked about this? And, well, I want this big house, and it's going to require me to work 7 days a week and travel for 6 months a year. Oh, yeah, well, we never talked about that. I don't want you traveling for 6 months a year. Well, then you can't have the house. Or my career comes first. Well, you never told me that when we got together. You know, I mean.
But when do you start working those things out, like date one, date two, date three, date 10? What? I mean, because I agree. I don't know. I want to make sure I get what I want.
Well, but that's the thing. You're not going to get what you want unless you say what you want to the other person.
But that's not always easy, and sometimes relationships are about compromise.
And again, being the number one tennis player in the world is not easy. And being, you know, making a mortgage payment is not easy. These are things that we have to do, and we have to figure out ways. And if you're going to last for years with another person, and let alone a lifetime, my God, you're talking the rest of your life. Name any arrangement that you do for the rest of your life. You know,
pay taxes.
Okay. But other than that, and even there, there's compromise where you can get out of paying taxes if you do certain things. But in terms of marriage, I mean, really, come on. You know, it's like I'd go out on a first date. And one of the first questions I would ask of a woman that I dated was, do you smoke? Yeah, but I could quit. Nope, we're done.
Well, you don't want to be with someone who can do something because they like you. You want them to do it because they do it for them.
Right, but again, I don't want to deal with the issue at all. I would just not date a smoker, you know? And one of the things, if I say, hey, on the first date, my number one issue in life is trust. If you can build my trust, I'll love you. And I will stick by you, and we can work through a lot of things. But if I don't have trust with you, I have nothing else. That's the house of cards that's going to fall down. Because trust is the main pillar holding the house up. So if you break that pillar, then the whole house comes down. And I don't want to have to keep putting the pillar of trust and rebuilding that up. It should be there from day one. And I'm harsher than you, which is a detriment in many ways to me.
No, I just am. I see the good in everyone.
Right. And the thing is, though, is that, you know, the first few dates, it is not inappropriate to say, what do you think of children? And if that person says, I have no interest in being a parent ever, then why should you have to compromise to meet that person's declaration? You know, it's like, well, great. Thanks a lot. See you later. Bye-bye. Because I want to find someone who's at least open to the possibility of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you like to cook? What are your eating habits? There's all these practical matters that they seem so trivial in the beginning, but then as you go on, they become so ingrained, and it's so difficult to change things as you go on. You know, that's the problem, is that if you don't get it all out there and get the ground rules set and get the goals set, and like I said, with the dream thing, what are your dreams? What's the house you live in look like? What car do you envision yourself driving? Where do you envision living? You know, do you want to, because, I mean, I could tell you, friends just wanted to move back to Mississippi, and his wife was all freaked out. She's like, wait a second, we never talked about that. And he says, well, that's the way it is. I want to move back with my family in Mississippi. And they had never talked about this ever. He just declares it. And he's like, well, that's what I intend to do. That's my dream. I've always wanted to do that. Well, you never once shared that dream with your wife.
That's crazy.
No, but I'm saying there's all of these things that need to be talked about.
Right, and there are a lot of people. And, of course, like, you say these things, and I'm like, not everyone thinks about these things before they meet somebody. Like, I don't know that I would think about what are your eating habits. Like, I don't care if we have the same eating habits immediately. I don't even care if we have the same eating habits, because I know how I eat. But it's important.
If you're a vegetarian, it's much easier to hook up with a vegetarian.
Right. Sure.
You know, it's like, my God, why, like, a guy in my men's group, he met this woman, he told her he was a vegetarian, she was like, well, so am I, but she really wasn't, she was sort of lying to get along with him, and now she eats meat in his house all the time, and it drives him nuts.
So, how long after they started dating did it start driving him nuts?
The first time she put meat in it.
Well, then maybe he should have said, look, actually, this isn't okay for me. And if you need to eat meat, you need to eat it on paper plates. Or maybe this isn't working. Why didn't he say that then?
Right. This is what I'm telling you.
Why are relationships so complicated, even when you're saying they don't have to be? That's what I want to know, Ian.
No, but you're proving my point. It's like, yeah, why didn't you just speak up in the beginning?
Because it's hard to speak up when your heart starts to flutter for someone and you like other things about them.
Exactly why you can't base a lifetime decision on an emotion.
I think you have very valid points here. It's just, it's so much work. And honestly, you said earlier, like, you know, it shouldn't be that hard, but in some ways it always is that hard, even when it's not extra hard because there's other problems. It's still that way because it's just hard. Like, to get what you want means you put a lot of work in. And I was saying earlier, like, I'm willing to do that, but it is also quite scary to be like, this is what I want, and find it. And I don't mean scary bad.
That's not to say that there's not compromise in what you want. But as you know, with Dan Savage's deal breakers, it's nice if you encounter the deal breakers early to get out and not waste your time and not compromise on those deal breakers.
Right.
You know, because, and the thing is what I believe is that you should get those deal breakers out on the table right away.
Like a deck of cards. You know what would be cool? To bring like a deck of cards with your five deal breakers on it and be like, I'm going to play a game with you. Here are five cards. Here are my five deal breakers. And you turn them over one by one. And if you guys have the same deal breakers, that's great.
Yeah, sure. I mean, somehow, and that's the thing. It's like, as you say, we get so caught up because our hearts are a flutter, you know? Yeah. And even though my heart was a flutter with Alicia when I first met her and I gazed at her and I was like, wow, I'm experiencing this huge energy thing with her. However, that didn't mean when we went on our first date that I didn't fess up to her, Jamie. I asked Alicia, are you dating? What do you think about relationships? I actually probed her on her first date about what's her family life like. You know, has her mom been divorced four or five times? I mean, these are red flags. Mm. And you know, I mean, I probe immediately because I don't want to just let the emotion overtake. You need to balance. Like, you need to get that emotion under control. That's why, I mean, think about this, Jamie. Why do car dealers not want to let you leave the lot? Because you're in a high emotional state when you find the car you want. So the last thing they want you to do is walk away, because then you get your senses about you and you probably say, eh, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sign over my life and give you $5,000 and do all this. And that's where we have to start taking a more practical approach. Wow, I'm in this fog of amazing emotion with this person. That's very meaningful. I'm not discounting that. But also, let me separate a little bit and decide if I am going to dive back into that or dive into it at all.
Well, I do think if you happen to be in a relationship where you step away a little bit, that you give each other the space. I think what the scariest thing in for most people is, they do that and then they realize, like, I might lose somebody, where even if you stay and suffocate them, you still lose them. It's more a matter of, are you willing to get what you want? That's what I want.
And most people deal with a very bad chronic fear of being alone.
I don't want to be. I have a fear of being alone, but you know what? It's a reality. So it's no longer a fear.
Right. Okay. You know, but that's what I, you know, that's the thing. It's like, I wish, and I almost wish people had to wait until they were 25 or 30 to get married. Like, okay, we'll give you a license to live together earlier than that, but you are not allowed to sign your life away for the rest of your life until you're older or you've had this many years of experience with that person. Then you can go ahead and do it, you know, because what's happening is people are, and don't forget, we're talking from the hindsight perspective. Like, you're in your 30s, I'm in my late 40s. So if your brain is not fully functioning until you're 25 and an adult, why the fuck should you be able to make a decision for the rest of your life?
This is something I'm going to study when I become a therapist. I'm very excited about it.
Study the hell out of it and stop people from doing this nonsense.
Thanks,
please.
Ian. That's Ian Dantese. We were just having a phone conversation and I asked if I could record it, because he was saying some really profound stuff. You can find Ian and his wife Alicia at Freddie and Eddie, that's Freddy and Eddy, and also that's their Twitter handle, and at freddyandeddy.com, their website. When Ian was referring to the Dan Savage piece, that is called The Price of Admission. You can find that on YouTube, and that's a piece where Dan Savage talks about having 5 deal breakers, 5 things you can't live without or with, and outside of those 5 things in your relationship, get over it. If you are a woman between the ages of 34 and 45 and you are single but don't want to be because you want to have a baby and a family, I am looking to talk with you about my new book. I am going to form, you do not need to be in San Francisco for this, I'm going to form accountability groups for women so that we can explore our own shit and deal with it. You can follow me on Twitter at JAMYE. Or email me for more information at hottwax@gmail.com. That's hot wax with 2 T's. This has been a hodgepodge of the Hot Socks podcast. I thank you for listening, and I look forward to sharing my journey. Oh my God, I'm so afraid! In a good way, fear is joy paralyzed. I look forward to sharing my journey and my open heart with you. Thank you for listening. Bye.